welcome to the Stanmore Resources first half 22 results call. All participants are in listen-only mode. There will be a presentation followed by a question and answer session. If you'd like to ask a question, you'll need to press the star key followed by the number one on your telephone keypad. I'd now like to hand the conference over to Marcelo Matos, CEO, and Shane Young, Finance Director. Please go ahead.
Good morning, everyone. I think it's a pleasure to be able to share here the recent events with everyone. I think it's another great and big day for Stanmore. I think obviously there were two major announcements this morning. We're going to talk about the Mitsui transaction shortly, but obviously it was the first half results, which in our view were very strong, and I think we're going to be referring to the announcement investor presentation we've shared this morning. So I would start with slide three with the main highlights. So starting on safety, it was a great first half. We've had, of course, a full half for the Isaac Downs or the Isaac Plains complex, and 2 months of the what we call now SMC assets under our responsibility, and with the total recordable injury frequency rate of 2.5. So there was only a single incident in the whole first half, which was not a severe incident. It was a medical treatment. So a pretty fantastic achievement, far below industry averages. Isaac Plains, despite the fact that we were going through a very busy time, by concluding the Isaac Downs construction, transitioning mine into a new contractor, taking over the operation of the CHPP, and with all the haulage starting north, I mean, with all these interactions, we managed to go through the whole first half without a single injury, with the SMC assets also having a fantastic performance. So I think we're pretty happy with the results, and of course hope to keep up with the strong safety culture that we are building as part of the enlarged business. Saleable production was in line with our targets and our guidance, around 2.8 million tons out of the complex, and that includes, again, 6 months of the Isaac Plains complex and almost 2 months of the SMC assets, South Walk and Poitrel. These numbers assume 100% of consolidation of the SMC numbers. So a huge, let's say, step up for us as a company. You can see that the full year 2021 was 2.1, and now only with 2 months of SMC, we are already at a completely different level. Very strong underlying EBITDA of $726 million. I think just a reminder that we are now reporting on U.S. dollars for the first time. Again, a pretty strong result. I think Shane will talk a bit more about the underlying aspect of EBITDA here. But again, a huge comparison against 2021, moving from $41 million to $726 on an Aussie dollar basis, just above $1 billion, only with two months of the new assets under our belt. Operating cash generation was also very strong at $563 million. Plenty of available liquidity of $605 million. That includes cash as of 30 of June, and available draw in facilities that we still have. With a share price of $202 per share. Obviously, we've announced this morning the Mitsui deal. I'm gonna talk a little bit more about that in another slide. But a transaction that we concluded successfully very quickly. We are envisaging to complete it as soon as possible with no major roadblocks. The only condition present for the transaction is FIRB approval, which has already been lodged. I'll just hand over to Shane, who's going to talk about the numbers on slide 11.
Thanks, Marcelo, and good morning, everyone. Shane Young, Chief Financial Officer here. Just turning our attention to slide 11 of the investor presentation that was distributed to the market this morning. It's been a truly transformational 6 months for Stanmore. First of all, I'd like to just call everyone's attention to the fact that we're now reporting in US dollars. So all of these numbers are US. There was a conscious decision made by the organization in consultation with the board and major shareholders regarding that change from Aussie to US, as it's more reflective of on the P&L side, a significant revenue, all of our revenues are in US dollars, and on our balance sheet, large percentage of our debt and cash is US, so we've made that move this year. But what that highlights is that on an EBITDA basis, $726 million US underlying EBITDA for the first 6 months is a touch around that 1 billion Aussie mark. So it's been an amazing year. And to really highlight that on this slide, we have put in comparisons to the full year last year. And you can see even on a full year basis, 41 million US last year for underlying EBITDA has been a considerable uplift for us. We've achieved that EBITDA result despite some cost pressures across our business, which I think is not unique to Stanmore. It's something being experienced across the industry as we've seen higher commodity input costs, you know, diesel, electricity, explosives, even equipment parts are all subject to inflationary pressures. So we have seen an increase of around 11 or 12% in free onboard cash costs compared to the full year last year. But despite that, have recorded a record half-year EBITDA. That EBITDA has led into significant cash flows for the business and I think a really great net debt position for us as an organisation. Bearing in mind the acquisition of the SMC assets was only completed around 60 days prior to 30 June. If we turn our attention to slide 12, this goes into a little bit more detail on the financial performance. I mentioned underlying EBITDA earlier, and we call it underlying EBITDA because we have made some adjustments for non-operating, what we call non-operating items. Primarily, the largest of that is a $227 million US adjustment for a revaluation of inventories that were acquired as part of the SMC acquisition. There's a requirement under our acquisition accounting to measure those at fair value, and with such a high coal price as at the 3rd of May, that resulted in a large non-cash increase in the value of those inventories. Now, all of those inventories have turned over as at 30 June, so they've all washed through the P&L, and we've seen $227 million of additional non-cash costs going through as a result, which we don't think is reflective of our ongoing performance, and so we've adjusted that out of underlying EBITDA, together with just one-off transactional costs such as stamp duty and consulting fees, integration costs, etc. They were all once-off in nature related to the acquisition. Despite that too, and even including all of those adjustments, when you turn your mind down to net profit after tax for the 6 months, a fantastic result of $232 million US, resulting in EPS of 32 US cents per share. On the next slide in the presentation, just to round off the discussion of our financial results, on debt and liquidity, slide 13, you can see here our liquidity position has vastly improved as well as a result of the strong first half performance for 2022. A large portion of that is being held in cash, $546 million US cash on hand as at 30 June, with net debt as a result of that after adjusting for lease, AAS, AASB 16 lease liabilities of just $250 million. So really setting ourselves up quite strongly from a balance sheet perspective. Marcella, over to you to talk through our projects and pipeline.
Okay, so I'll jump into slide 21. We have aimed here to illustrate our project pipeline, which is, of course, a lot bigger at the moment, but so many options. And what we've tried to do here was to categorize them from two different angles. Of course, one is the development stage, which is from assets under production to prospective development projects and exploration prospects, but also looking at them from different angles, such as whether they are expansion projects, whether they are replacement projects or capacity replacement, or whether they are improvement projects. So there's a range of options in our pipeline. Obviously, if you look at on the right side, you have there the four main operations, with a lot of the work that's being done now on improvement in the short term around the operations. They include product optimization, synergies, which, I mean, blending is just one of them, and it's happening already as we speak. A fleet optimization. We turned on a few trucks back on in Poitras and South Walker. I think the focus was to, let's say, optimize excavator productivity and minimize excavator hang in a time where margins are high and we can benefit from incremental volumes. We're mining two additional plies of the Vermont seam in Poitrel, which have never been touched in the past, at very short interburden, so very marginal cost to mine, and producing an opportunistic 15-16 ash thermal product, which is not part of our main, let's say, product mix. I mean, we are still predominantly a met coal producer, but this was a pretty interesting opportunistic value accretive volume that we found in Poitrel, where we are still exploring to the possibility to continue mining. Blending is already happening as we speak. So there's a whole range of optimization initiatives. We do have projects on the development stage here, which includes the whole road between Poitrel and Isaac Downs. We intend to pull the trigger within this quarter to be able to start construction in the fourth quarter and have it ready and completed in the first quarter of 2023. That's going to allow us to benefit from the additional run of mine that we have in that we will be able to produce in Isaac Downs. And I think that there's another slide just to go into a bit more details. And then a range of other projects here, as you see, including Wardswell and the CHPP upgrade in Isaac Plains and so on. So a pipeline that we will, of course, focus on now, and of course, with a broader range of options, there will be a lot more, let's say, rigor on how we prioritize these options based on the value proposition to the business. Jumping now to slide 24. And it's the Mitsui transaction, so I think it was a great achievement. I think we've been working on that for a while. I mean, Mitsui is a great partner. I've been dealing with Mitsui for probably more than 15 years, and obviously they made that strategic decision to exit from the joint venture. It was a very natural move for us. I mean, we like the assets. I think there's a lot of benefit in streamlining ownership, given how much interaction we envisage to have between the assets. So the transaction itself is basically a simple deal. It's a share purchase. So our subsidiary, Dampier Coal, which we own 100% and owns the 80% shares in SMC, basically is buying the Mitsui shares in a simple transfer. The agreement was signed this morning. It's based on a purchase price of $380 million, but this amount will be reduced by any dividends that we declare and pay to Mitsui pre-completion. Of course, this is where the tricky part is around how you try to, let's say, come up with what is the exact purchase price, because normally you would see as part of a transaction like that completion adjustment mechanisms to deal with the movements of working capital and cash between signing and completion. This transaction is quite unique, where actually there's no economic transfer date, there's no completion adjustment to take place. So despite the fact that there was a lot of cash sitting at SMC as of 30 of June, and as of now, there won't be any adjustment. So if we do distribute a dividend to Mitsui pre-completion, which we actually intend to do, and it's going to be quite a relevant one, any amount paid to Mitsui will be deducted from the 380, and on completion, we will pay the net amount to Mitsui. So that's what the transaction is. Of course, we haven't disclosed what this dividend may be, because I think we haven't yet reached that decision. But the intention is to make a sizable one pre-completion.
To emphasize that as well, we aren't looking to raise any new debt or new equity to fund this deal. There are sufficient cash flows within the business, and taking into account this dividend mechanism and adjustment to the purchase price, we're very confident that this will be something that we can fund, and our plan is to fund that internally. What that may mean is that as we look to the second half of this year, SMR will probably look to retain cash in the business for this purpose and not look to declare any special dividends for the second half. Of course, that's price dependent. If we see met prices return to astronomical levels, we'll obviously have a look at that at that time. And of course, we will have a look at the full year results at the end of the year and reconsider any full year dividends in first quarter of next year.
Transaction is, as I said before, the only condition is FIRB. FIRB has already been lodged prior to signing. It's going to be a much simpler assessment, in our view, than the previous acquisition from BHP, which was a controlling stake. They are familiar with the assets. They are familiar with STEMO. We believe it should be a pretty streamlined, straightforward process, and hence we are envisaging, hopefully, to complete within the next three, or not more than 4 months. All going well, we have from October SMC 100% under our belt. Lots of benefits, as we said, coming from that, around simplification, streamlining, less reporting and administration, and extraction of synergies amongst the assets. Just jumping out to slide 27, second half priorities for the business. In the Isaac Plains complex, we are basically shutting down the wash plant in October for the upgrade. I think we spoke about this upgrade before. It's bringing the wash plant from 500 tons an hour to 600 tons an hour, a pretty marginal investment that's going to pay extremely quickly. And together with that, we also just decided and pulled the trigger on actually starting haulage of excess run of mine from Isaac Downs to Poitrel through the Peak Downs Highway. So despite our haul road is not built yet, and we are only envisaging to have it completed by early next year, we are mobilizing B-double trucks to basically haul excess ROM through the Peak Downs Highway from Isaac Downs to be washed in the Red Mountain wash plant. So this will benefit some incremental sales in the second half. I think we have reflected that in the guidance volumes that you see also in the presentation. And it's another win here, especially now where the drag line is uncovering coal at Isaac Downs pretty rapidly at low strip ratios. As I said, haul road to Poitrel, I think we are on track. I think the logic here is the same. It's connect the two assets, have the optionality there, and benefit from the ability of Isaac Downs to progress quickly and mine more ROM, especially in the first 2 years. But more than that, we have other developments in the Isaac complex, such as Isaac South, which is the EPC 755 further south. It is a greenfield project. We do require to go through a mining lease application and the whole environmental approvals process, but having the optionality of the two washing options at Red Mountain and Isaac Plains will open a lot of these options, including the Isaac Plains Underground project, which is a project that's ready to go at the N1 pit in Isaac Plains. And so on. I mean, historically, of course, washing was always a constraint in Isaac Downs to be able to bring these projects online. With Red Mountain now connected, a lot of these options will be able to be materialized. The project number three, Mulgrave Creek Diversion, is the what we call the MRA2C project in South Walker Creek. It's a fantastic opportunity. It's basically accessing a large block of coal in the southern area, let's say in the southwest area of the deposit, at much lower strip ratios, higher yielding coal, at a lot lower haulage. You know, the strike of South Walker now is around 20 Ks if you look at the northern pits. So accessing MRA2C is going to bring a lot of value. At the moment, it has always, I mean, it has under BHP, and for us also now, it's still being looked at as an improvement project from the angle of cost reductions and margin improvements. It could be also a potential expansion project in case we are able to expand the South Walker's CHPP get approvals to be able to go above a certain ROM limit that we have in South Walker now. It's early days. It's a lot of work happening to be able to develop that project more competitively, but a fantastic opportunity at South Walker Creek as well. Multiple exploration campaigns in all the assets. We are reviewing Ward's Well development options. Great resource, large premium coking coal, undeveloped project. Obviously, the idea is to see what could be the best development option, the most competitive, and the most, let's say, there are creative options there. There is infrastructure nearby, and more work to do in Ward's Well as well. Jumping to slide 29. Just finalizing before we open to questions. So we have then updated guidance for the second half based on the latest views of the mine plans and cost structures and our capital program. I think the first 2 months were right on mark in terms of volume or what we anticipated before in the first guidance we provided. We now provided with an update, and volume-wise, it's mostly unchanged. As you see there, the Isaac Plains complex is reflecting this upside I indicated around haulage to Red Mountain through the Peak Downs Highway. So we are envisaging already to start benefiting from these volumes in the second half. Poitrel, mostly unchanged. And so is South Walker for volume wise. Cost, of course, is the area where pressure is. I mean, we are not immune to what's happening in the industry. So as Shane said before, I think the main commodity related inputs like the diesel, tires, even some explosive supplies like ammonia nitrate. I think there's been a pressure across the board, and we did update our cost forecasts here to reflect that. I mean, it's probably worth it to say that Poitrel, relatively to Isaac Downs and South Walker, is probably feeling a bit more of that impact, being a truck and excavator operation, where Isaac Plains and South Walker are drag line operations. So when you have this situation of input cost pressures, I think an operation like Poitrel will tend to be more impacted than others. And the capital program, similar, pretty much in line, but now reflected some of the projects that were not approved or that we haven't made a decision when we provided the initial guidance. And now we've already decided to let's say, progress with the haul road, and we're also paving the existing haul road between Isaac Downs and Isaac Plains CHPP to make it more weather resilient. Given that we did have some unseasonal weather, and we want to make sure that we are not caught up with plenty of coal south of the highway, a wash plant ready to wash north of the highway, but a whole road that is sensitive to weather. So I think that was a decision we've taken, and it's going to be a small investment to make sure that we can haul consistency between Isaac Downs and the wash plant. So I think I'll park here, open for questions, unless Shane, you want to add any additional comments?
Happy to take any questions from investors and shareholders.
Thank you. If you'd like to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone and wait for your name to be announced. If you'd like to cancel your request, please press star 2. If you're on a speakerphone, please pick up the handset to ask your question. Your first question comes from Brett McKay of Petra Capital. Please go ahead.
Good morning, gents, and congratulations on really an amazing and clearly a very, very busy period for you. Just on the cost side of things, when we were first talking about taking over an asset that was run by primarily BHP, there were some obvious areas that you would focus on to strip costs out of the business. I just wondered whether you could comment on how much focus you've put into optimizing the cost side relative to integrating the business, which has clearly been the main focus, and also maximizing volumes given coal prices have been so high. How much of that potential do you still see to come through, which might balance out some of those other underlying cost pressures?
Brett, it's of course a good question, and I think everyone is probably getting the same questions up. I'll be very frank. I think a lot of the focus for us from day one has been on, of course, ensuring continuity. We got the keys for these assets when prices were still probably around the $500 a ton or just south of that. So it was a time to ensure that we had no disruptions. We want to keep the volumes flowing, and we want to be able to, keep safety under control. We were going through a transition where we were still depending on BHP transition services, which fortunately now we are done with that. We just went live with our own ERP, our SAP, which was pretty successful. It went live a couple of weeks ago. So a lot of the focus, especially in the early days, and I mentioned a few of the initiatives, have been also on trying to capture some of the low-hanging fruits on volume, okay? Because margins were so good that, turning 3 trucks on back on in Poitrel and South Walker, in our view, were no-brainers. Tackling some of those initiatives that the Poitrel teams brought to us to mine some of those untouched Vermont plies were, again, no-brainers. It was a lot cheaper to go and mine the V2 and 3 plies wash it through the plant, which is as plenty of capacity in Red Mountain, where our whole fixed costs are already paid for, and sell. We've done it a lot quicker than if we were to drill a few holes and do a bit of exploration washability tests. So we've done that. We generated reasonable margins. So, I mean, we did spend more time in the early days or weeks in trying to let's say, deploy some of these opportunities and get them going on volume. I think, obviously, cost is in our, you know, in our plan. It is part of the focus going forward. And yes, I think we do anticipate that we should be able to start capturing that. But I would say here that it was for us more prudent, okay, to as a guidance to provide what we expect that reality will be in the second half. We are still under huge pressure. Labor pressure as well. We are going through an EA renegotiation in Poitrel in September, and we are seeing signs of. We just heard this week and the last few days, no views around potentially inflation being close to peaking. You know, in the U.S. and maybe this monetary tightening cycle being close to its end, which I think would be excellent. I think supply chains are still under pressure, which was one of the reasons the costs went to the roof on certain inputs. But yes, I think the long answer is yes. It's in our plan. It's something that it's a work in progress, and we do intend to see improvements going forward.
Yeah. Thanks, Marcelo. And just one other one before I pass it over. Just the coal market at the moment, obviously with the peak pricing we saw over the last few months coming off the boil from those highs and recovering, you know, in the last few days, which has been great to see. Can you just outline the dynamics in the coals that you sell, you know, primarily PCI, which, you know, at the point, you know, Russia-Ukraine conflict was eventuating, was really a focus of a lot of attention, and that's now come off. But the dynamics, you know, in terms of the market conditions probably haven't changed any. Can you just give us a sense for, you know, where things are at out there in the PCI market generally, and maybe a little bit of reference to how the thermal coal price is impacting the metallurgical complex at the moment?
Sure. Look, we've seen PCI going. I mean, PCI is back again at same level as the PLV, as a hard coking coal. It's interesting, Brad, because there's a lot of pressure from steel makers to the index providers like the Platts and TSI and so on. And they, of course, steel makers want to see, you know, PLV steel at a reasonable relativity against PCI, which is not necessarily where supply demand is. I mean, so it is a bit of game around, you know, steel makers and of course suppliers trying to influence the index assessments. Okay, especially if you look at how the Platts work out their assessments. The reality is PCI is a very tight market, right, from a supply standpoint. And as you said, when Russia came out of the market, I mean, it just skyrocketed. It's usually the canary on the mine, right? Which is, it goes up first, it goes down first. It's similar to what the pellets in the iron ore market, because it's used directly into blast furnaces, right? So when steel makers are flexing steel production up and down depending on steel demand and. And I think the PCI is the first to be demanded when they need to ramp up, and likewise when it goes down. So we are seeing recovery. Okay, there is more appetite. We've been seeing more inquiries for PCI cargoes, which is good. I think that could be aligned with expectations that this tightening cycle is starting to peak. Okay, we know that the Indians are back in the market. Probably the PLV side, on the hard premium coking coal, we have now Anglo with Moranbah and Grosvenor, would maybe put a bit of more pressure in the short term around, you know, offerings of premium coking coal. But we do see tight PCI markets to continue. Sanctions in Europe have started from August, as some of you are aware. So the Russian coal that was going to Europe will need to find elsewhere to go. So good to see prices normalizing and stabilizing, and hopefully back up again if this tightness continue. I think the whole thermal and met coal anomaly is quite an interesting one. I think that's, of course, the whole market is intrigued and curious to see where this is going to end. I struggle to see this being sustainable for too long, given that ultimately met coal, despite CSN and swell, which is the main limitation for its utilization as a thermal, it can be burned, it can be used as fuel by power generators, but it's not so simple to switch. You have the volatile meta complexity around what different boilers and the power plants use around the globe. I think the Newcastle index is a index that's protected by some major suppliers. It's not necessarily the other, let's say, all the thermal coal markets not being transacted at the same level than the Newcastle index. But there is an ability for some of the met coal tonnage to be switched into thermal. I think we are seeing that happening in the Hunter Valley. With low volts from Queensland, it's a bit more difficult because not all markets use very low volt coals as thermal coal, like South Walker Creek, for example, which is a low volt PCI. I tend to think that, they need to converge. Either the assessments on the met coal indices need to start reflecting that replaceability option, or ultimately, more tonnage is going to continue to be diverted into thermal. So I think we're still optimistic. No one expected the market to remain at $500 a ton, and I think 220 is pretty good. I mean, it's a great, it's still a great market to be.
Great. Thanks very much, gents. And again, congratulations on a great result.
Thank you. Once again, if you'd like to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone and wait for your name to be announced. Your next question comes from Colin McLennan from Petra Capital. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Hi, guys. On your slide on the significant projects, can you just give some color around what the difference you see between blending synergies and product optimization?
I think product optimization, Colin, is a bit of, I'll give an example. South Walker in the wash plant, it has a separate chute for bypassing. So there's an option to, let's say, bypass when you have, low ash feed to be able to produce opportunistically thermal as opportunistic coal. If the market justifies it, in case we can service our contracts. Of course, our priority is to focus on servicing the contracts. We have premium steel makers as our customers, and we don't think this anomaly will sustain for too long. But there's that optionality is there. We are looking at specs, okay, as specs for the individual products to look at optimal levels between yield, ash, and so on. So that's what we call product optimization. We are reviewing that. Of course, BHP, they had their own views and their own strategy, and usually their strategy was a lot focused on the premium products, which is where they have the leadership in that market. I think now we are revisiting that. I think it's just natural and healthy to do that, and I think there are opportunities there. Okay, on blending synergy is more looking at the different assets, different products, also together with this product optimization, and see how we can create value with blending and uplift, especially uplifting some of the lower price realization products by blending with some of the other higher value products.
Okay, so would it be right to say that product optimization is probably underway already, and lending synergies you're yet to really kick off properly, or to the full extent, I guess?
Correct. Well, I would say both are underway, mate, because we already did a bit of blending between this Vermont 2 and 3 plies that we mined at Poitrel, and we blended that with Isaac Plains to sell some spot thermal cargoes. We are already blending some of the met coals as well. We've just done a first shipment, you know. And yeah, but more work to be done because we also need to look at the logistics solution, okay? If you remember, we have Poitrel going mostly to Abbot Point with Isaac Plains and South Walker to the BCT. So when looking at blending options, we need to understand that equation as well, because some customers buy mostly from one port or to the or another port, and so I think that's it needs a more careful, you know, plan, and we are going through that. We are not starting now. This was work in progress already before. Where product optimization, yes, it's already happening as we speak.
Great, thank you.
Thank you. There are no further questions at this time. I'll now hand back to Mr. Matos for any closing remarks.
Look, I think it was a great half a year, quite transformation for us as a business. I think we spoke extensively about that in the on the way to the equity raise and in recent meetings. I'm very happy to be able to report a pretty strong start at the enlarged business. I think we have a fantastic group of people. It's been extremely stable, surprisingly stable and good post-completion with the teams and with the people. I think people are energized. They are, you know, seeing opportunity to bring a lot of these ideas and opportunities into execution rapidly, which I think it's one of our strengths, to be able to move fast and implement these opportunities. So I think a lot more to do. I think there's plenty of options in the pipeline. As I said, they include expansions, they include improvements, and value to be generated. With the Mitsui deal, it, of course, it helps to materialize and implement those. So I think, again, pretty good ride ahead for us. So thanks, everyone. Thanks for your support to the business so far. And I mean, Shani and I here always happy to clarify questions and engage further. Shani, any closing remarks?
No, I mean, just to reiterate Marcelo's comments that, appreciate your support and, looking forward to another solid half ahead.
Thank you. That does conclude our conference for today. Thank you for participating. You may now disconnect.